I would like to get started and invite our first presenter, Mr. Tigran Evanjan. He would be talking about Reactor Grids, a web application for constructing administrative closure algorithm for syphilis lab reaction.
Hi, I'm Tigran Evanjan. I'm a second year PhD student at the University of Washington. And so my talk is on catalyzing the syphilis reactor grid. So rates of primary and secondary syphilis across the United States have increased dramatically since the year 2000, which has put increased pressure on health departments to be more efficient in the ways they identify new syphilis cases. Investigation of syphilis lab reports for new cases can be time-consuming and costly, and so STD programs typically use reactor grids to prioritize evaluations for those most likely to be new cases. So the reactor grid gives health departments a visual way of identifying which lab reports are yielding the highest rates of early syphilis case finding and thus should be prioritized. And the typical reactor grid looks like this. The columns represent titer values from RPR and VDRL test results, and the rows represent age groups. And using the reactor grid, health departments can define criteria for automatically closing reactors that have the lowest rates of early syphilis case finding. So for example, in King County, we close all 1-to-1, 1-to-2, and 1-to-4 results for individuals above age 60. And the criteria can vary from setting to setting. If you look at Mississippi's reactor grid, they close all 1-to-1s for individuals above age 40, all 1-to-2s for individuals above age 50, 1-to-4s above age 60, and 1-to-8s above age 80, which looks quite different from King County's reactor grid. So the goal of the reactor grid is usually to prioritize investigations for lab reports for higher titers, younger age groups, and women of childbearing age. But there isn't a one-size-fits-all administrative closure algorithm. And the optimal algorithm is often dependent on the prevalence of syphilis, health department priorities, and staff workload and capacity. So there is a need for the reactor grid to be reactive. In other words, it needs to be adaptable to changes in syphilis prevalence, population characteristics, and department resources. And kind of in line with the theme of today's session is to ensure that the reactor grid stays current, health departments need to rapidly translate their data to practice. And that was really our goal with developing this web application that we're calling Surge. It's a flexible and easy-to-use application for evaluating the syphilis reactor grid. It was developed using Shiny, which is an open-source web framework for R. And users can load their syphilis reactor grid data into Surge, construct the reactor grid, and define and compare administrative closure algorithms and export the results. And there is a demo available at the link, and I'll put the link back up at the end of the presentation so you guys can access it. So so the data requirements are very minimal for Surge. It works with either lab report level or aggregated data. And there's really three requirements that you need: case status, age, and test result. And there are optional fields that you can include for stratification. Currently, those are gender, test type, and RPR, or test type and some indicator of what the previous result was. But those are completely optional. You can choose not to include them. So once you've loaded your data, Surge will generate the reactor grid, which looks like this. The cells contain the number of verified cases compared to the number of lab reports in each box. And you can click on each cell, and Surge will tell you what the impact of administratively closing those cells are in real time. So the panel on the left calculates some metrics that measure that impact. For example, we calculate the efficiency gain, which tells you if I close the selected cells, which are shown in blue there, this is what percent of lab reports I would no longer have to investigate. So in this example, if you use the algorithm shown in blue, you would no longer need to investigate 16.5% of your lab reports. Once you're satisfied with an algorithm, you can save it and then define a new algorithm for a side-by-side comparison. So using Surge, we decided to measure the impact of modifying the syphilis reactor grid in King County. We used data from our county's syphilis registry, and that included all lab reports for RPRs from January 1st, 2006 to December 31st, 2015. We defined a case based on final disposition codes for early syphilis, so that includes primary, secondary, and early latent syphilis, as assigned by an experienced disease investigator. Using these criteria, we identified 13,501 lab reports and 1,565 total cases. And then we evaluated the impact of modifying King County's current administrative closure algorithm, and here we're presenting on three illustrative examples of that evaluation. So again, this is our current reactor grid. Our current grid closes all non-reactive RPRs with a positive EIA result, all for individuals above age 20, and all 1-to-1 through 1-to-4 titers for individuals above age 60. Our first modification expanded that criteria to close 1-to-1s, 1-to-2s, and 1-to-4s for individuals above age 45, and also included closure of 1-to-8s above age 45 as well. We consulted with an experienced DIS who's been doing syphilis investigations for 30-plus years, who recommended this algorithm, which closes 1-to-1s and 1-to-2s for individuals above age 20, and then the rest of the criteria are the same. And then we combined the previous two modifications together to create this, like, most liberal algorithm. And then to measure the impact on efficiency and case finding, we defined three metrics. The first is efficiency gain, which is defined as the lab reports that would no longer be investigated based on the selected administrative closure algorithm. Second was case finding loss, which was defined as the cases that would be missed if the selected algorithm were used. And then we wanted to look at the efficiency gain relative to the case finding loss, which was defined as the number of lab reports closed without investigation per case lost under the selected algorithm. And then to contextualize what the case finding loss meant in terms of health department priorities, we looked at the impact that closing the selected cases would have on treatment, HIV case finding, and partner services. And we measured the number of index cases that would no longer be treated on the same day or after interview, and the number of new HIV positive diagnoses we would lose, as well as the number of partners that would no longer be named treated after DIS contact, and then the number of new syphilis partners and HIV positive partners that we would no longer identify. So what we found is that under our current administrative closure algorithm, we were not investigating 15% of lab reports. And that corresponded to a case finding loss of 2%. And that 2% case finding loss really came from a provider reporting of early syphilis cases. And those cases also happen to have a lab report as well. And with our modified algorithms, we found that we could have an efficiency gain of between 13 to 25%, and a case finding loss of between 3 and 7%. And under the expanded plus experienced DIS algorithm, you know, we would have about we would expect to close an additional 3,000 lab reports and lose only an additional 99 cases. And then in terms of the impact on treatment, HIV case finding, and partner services, we really saw that there would be a minimal impact on these factors. So under the most liberal algorithm, which was the expanded and experienced DIS algorithm, we would expect to see 38 fewer index cases treated on the same day or after their interview, 2 fewer HIV positive diagnoses, and although we would have 136 fewer partners named, we would see 25 fewer partners treated after DIS contact, and 7 fewer new syphilis partners. And finally, we would see virtually no impact on the number of new HIV-positive partners, since none of would be lost under any of the algorithms. And just as a reminder, this is data over 10 years and not annually, so that really contextualizes how small the loss of in case finding really is. So to summarize, using SURGE, we found that updating the syphilis reactor grid in King County would result in an efficiency gain between 13 to 25% and a case finding loss between 3 and 7%. All of the algorithms evaluated would have a small impact on treatment, HIV case finding, and partner services outcomes, and virtually no impact on identification of HIV positive partners. And finally, the actual impact on case finding loss may be smaller because of provider reporting new syphilis cases. So what we're calling a case finding loss could actually represent a case finding delay. I'd like to thank my co-authors, Julie Dombrowski, Matt Golden, and Christine Kosrupper, as well as the Public Health Seattle and King County HIV-STD program staff, including Lindley Barbie, David Katz, Don Spellman, Rolf Peterson, Katie Heidery, and Edith Allen for all of their help with the King County evaluation. And here's the link to Surge, which anyone can use. There's a demo data set there, so you can play around with the reactor grid. And that's my contact information in case you want more information about the application. Thank you.
Thank you, Tigran. Any questions from the audience? Please use the mic in the aisle.
Thanks for the presentation, Tigran. This is Jim Mathias from Florida. I know we spoke before, so I had just a couple things I want to talk about since we're doing a very similar reactor grid evaluation with Matt Golden and Julie's group as well. One thing that I really appreciate your new evaluator and everything like that, we did something very, very similar, but one of the things we want to highlight from what we found in Florida is if you can make sure to include previous partner's history, which was one of your optional things, we found the greatest efficiencies there rather than just cutting large swaths out of women and one to twos or new positives that, you know, those previous partner histories, then you can really expand that liberal grid there because you need that fourfold titer increase. And the other thing I just want to mention is when we do these syphilis reactor grids, how do you think this is going to impact surveillance and case reporting, especially if you exclude your 745s from all of this, especially high titer 745s and things like that, and the impact on surveillance and reporting?
That's a great question. We saw similar things with looking at previous results. It's not presented here, but you do have the option to specify criteria based on previous results and then stratify it that way. And we saw similar things if you exclude people who have, or if you look at only people who have less than a 2 titer increase, you know, you see virtually no cases among those individuals. So if you cut those out, you know, it decreases your work even more. And then in terms of case finding, we're looking into the number of cases that would still be identified using provider report. But I suspect that like what we're calling a case finding loss, you know, might be a provider just the case finding delay. Because we would still get reports of new cases of early syphilis from provider report. So, yeah.
All right. I can ask you a question.
Sure.
There is an emphasis on it being a web application. So what are the advantages of it being a web application over it being housed on the computer?
Yeah. So the biggest advantage, I think, is that in terms of dissemination, it's really simple. You send someone a hyperlink, and they can load in their own data. So that simplifies that tremendously. But I think so there is the option of like running it on a local machine. So you can do a local installation and not have it be on the web as well. So, yeah.
Any more questions? Could you use mic, please?
Hello, thanks. This is Garrett Lund from Washington, D.C. So is this application only meant for doing a grid analysis? And then, so like, something I thought about, like taking even further after you've done your analysis is because some places get such high volume of labs coming in that we don't have the people to sift through them. If you created a grid where you could do a check mark of what should be automatically administratively closed, that would eliminate a lot of those labs that we have to actually sift through.
Yeah.
So that's what I would think would happen next if you had a data system where all these labs are flowing in, and you could say, administrative close these. And then once they flow in, they're gone. You don't have to evaluate them. Just stick to the ones that you need to evaluate. And then you're still getting the provider reports on the ones that you really need to follow up on.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's something we've considered. So as a first step, we wanted to start with the evaluation because we really didn't have a tool to do that. But the next step would definitely be to automate the grid, you know. So,
yeah.